You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. It's going to be a freestyle episode tonight. A lot happening in the Punk News. We got July 20. We've got Philly Record Freakout presents Grooves and Brews in Croydon, PA at Neshaminy Creek Brewing. We got Summer Soiree 8 on July 31 with the Dwarves. Exclusive records for sale by the Dwarves. Also Schooly D. Also Lips of Coal, who I just saw. Oh, I'll talk about that too, actually. Lips of Coal. Also Pink Soap and The Noid. And the Servinator. So it's going to be a fun show. And tonight, we're here with Sammy B. Sammy B, what's happening?
Oh, hey, I'm here. I'm alive. Barely survived the end of the year for craziness, but I'm here.
And we are also here with M. Moore. M. Moore, what's happening? What's going on?
Hello. I haven't been carried off by a giant mosquito yet. They're trying. So...
Do you really think that there is a purpose for mosquitoes?
Food for birds.
Is that even it? Like, does birds love our blood that much?
Birds are secret vampires, but they don't want to give away their position. They want to be stealthy about it.
Here's a general question. So as we know, they used to teach the food chain, but now it's more a food web. It's actually a food web. The question is, does every animal serve a purpose on the planet?
No.
I believe mosquitoes suck and don't need to exist.
How about ticks? Do ticks serve a purpose?
Lyme disease. Which isn't good. So no.
Wait, what? So like we're kind of on a theme of like some bugs are bad.
Well,
I'm trying to think of like a non-bug animal that's like doesn't really have a purpose.
A non-bug? That's a good question.
Well, the dodo bird is gone, so.
True. Do jellyfish have a purpose?
I think they're food for someone.
I think they do.
Yeah, I think jellyfish is food. So, yeah I would say yes. But, like, seriously, like, mosquitoes, what is your purpose besides annoying me and making me have puffy skin? Like, there's no purpose. Or bed bugs. Like, what is the purpose of these things?
Well, I'll tell you the purpose of bed bugs to be the inspiration for the Amazing Leftover Crack song, Infested.
Sounds like a very Brooklyn thing, yes.
One bug, two bugs, three bugs, four. These bugs just fucking eat. Soon there'll be hundreds more. Infest my bed. Infest my head. Get the lidocaine and kill them all dead. Anyways, I love that song. On Saturday, I think it was Saturday, I had an interesting experience. Lips of Coal is the newish Philly goth death rock band with Rachel the Drew Getz, Amy of the NAD, and a couple other people. And they are surprisingly good. And whenever like one of your friends or friend acquaintance is like, I've got a new band, you're like, oh, great. Can't wait to hear it. No, but they're actually like super good. And that's why they're playing Summer Soiree 8. Anyways, they played a real hole in the wall in Delaware called Bar 13, which is it's one of these dive bars that is like grimy and crappy, but it's kind of fun because it is so grimy and crappy. It's not a dive bar that isn't any fun because it's so gnarly, but it is kind of gnarly for sure. Anyways, so they were playing at one of these, you know, hole-in-the-wall shows with, like, nine bands. And I'm like, who wants to see these other bands? But there are, like, people there getting very drunk and stuff, you know. And during the show, apparently the sound man had some kind of GoFundMe or something. I don't even know for what. And they're like, so we're going to auction off Amy the singer's socks at the end of the show. So be sure to stick around for the end of the show. And we're going to auction off Amy's socks. And I thought it was like kind of like a ha-ha funny kind of thing.
And oh, no.
And also Amy said she hadn't like changed her socks in like 3 days or something.
Ew. So
at the end of the show, she takes off her Doc Martens or some kind of boots. And sure enough, she's got on kind of like these big wool socks or something. And they start the auction at like $25 or $20. And then people kind of pause. And then one person goes, $25. Ha, 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 ha. And then someone goes, $30. Ah, ha, ha, ha. And then like three or four people that were there to seriously buy bid, you know. And it goes 50, 70, 100. 120. And these guys are going back and forth. And they're like actually like mad that they're like bidding against each other because they like they want the socks. And the guy that won, a guy paid $200 for the socks. And it was clear that it wasn't like a ha ha, like it was real because he brought Tupperware to put the socks in.
Oh, you know what I mean? Oh my God.
And so being kind of a good sport is, I think Amy kind of thought she was just going to take off the socks and give them to the guy, but he got like on his hands and knees and people were like laughing. And so, she like sat down and like let him pull her socks off, you know?
Oh my gosh.
And he started pulling them off and then he put the socks in his teeth and pulled them off with his teeth. You know what I mean?
No.
And then he starts like licking her feet, you know? And at first he was trying to be a good sport, and I don't want to speak for, I could be wrong, but it seemed to me that in that 10 second span, it went from being, haha, isn't this ridiculous, to like, oh, am I actually a sex worker now? And so like, she like kind of like pushed his head away with her feet, you know? And I thought it would be kind of funny to see like this guy, like, pull her socks off and like suck on her toes and lick on her feet. But like, if you've ever seen that in person, it's actually like really disturbing. Like the guy was into it, and I'm like, this is like really gnarly, like not funny at all. This is like something else, man. And then I said, what does it say about me that I'm technically paying here to see this? You know, there's people that are like figuring out how to cure AIDS of the babies in Africa. There's people that are reading to orphans in the burn unit, you know. There's people that are raising money for, you know, this cause or that cause. There's people that are inventing, you know, a new kind of light bulb. There's people that are, you know, reading Shakespeare and expanding their mind. And I'm here watching some guy get a boner while he's sucking on some lady's toes, you know. I'm like, what does that say about me? So anyways, it was one of the odder experiences I've had in my life. Only in the sense that, like, if you've actually seen a beyond middle-aged man, like, getting sexually excited by licking a woman's toes in person, it's a weird scene. It was genuinely odd and made me feel weird. You know what I mean? Not weird like, ooh, I feel weird. Like gross. Maybe, you know, it felt weird, you know?
Well, I think it's only weird because you went to a show and you didn't intend to come to watch someone's OnlyFans or porno. It's one thing if you're like intentionally opening up your laptop looking for porn of toe sucking or something. or like, you know, I would have to say if she wants to open an OnlyFans of feet, I'm sure someone will pay more for that. She might be onto something.
But actually, you know what? Well, first of all, you're right. But also, like I thought it would be funny, but it wasn't funny. It was not, you know.
No.
But I got to say, all you young ladies out there, if you want some easy money without, like, really doing anything, just sell your socks online. Like, I first of all, I can't believe that's a thing, but it's a real thing. So, Sam Ram, if you ever want to make, like, easy money, I think you should sell your socks. Like, why not? Hey, Sam, if some guy said, Sam, I really want your socks, I'll give you $500. Would you just, like, you don't have to do anything naked or anything like that. You literally just have to give him your socks for $500. Would you do that?
Well, I would have to consult with my husband and see if he's okay with me selling my used stinky socks.
But actually, Sam, that's a part of it. The guy wanted them because they were stinky. Like, that was a big part of it.
Oh, you know what I mean? No, I'm well aware. I was like, there's fetishes for everything. You just have to find your person that is into your kink. And you're good. if my husband's okay with me selling my stinky socks and I can get, like, $500 for it, sure. Sam B. Socks will be up on Punkney shortly to raise money for dogs. I'm all for that. I don't necessarily need $500. However, I'm sure a dog rescue in Puerto Rico would love my socks, money, or something. There's also people that sell their bath water, like, online. And, that's weird.
There is one thing that goes along with it, though, is that, like, the people buying the socks, I think, want a specific woman's socks. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so
yeah,
there,
totally.
There is something of a sexual aspect to it, you know? But on the other hand, like Sam, I'm trying not to make this too weird. Let's say a guy's walking down the street and he thinks you're hot and he goes home. You can't stop him from thinking that you're hot. You know what I mean? So is you selling your socks with him thinking you're hot any different than him just thinking you're hot when he's walking down the street? I don't know. I really don't know, you know? And I'm trying to, if I have a daughter and guys wanted to buy her socks, would that upset me?
Well, you're creating a commodity out of something, right? That's what it is. And essentially, you're creating, I guess, a thing about it. Also, you are part of the product, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like, I think a lot of the, you know, like the porn stars or the OnlyFans folks, it's all about, like, you know, social media and, like, outreach that gets people to come in. And I'm not just saying, like, you know, it could be anyone, you know? But yeah, no, I've seen, like, marketed branding of, like, articles of clothing for people.
Yeah.
That's, like, of this, sex work, nature, field of people. And, like, you know, people will buy that stuff. Like, it's, hey, again, if that is your kink and you're into it and you have the money for $200 pairs of socks and someone is willing participant in selling said article, then fine. I think there is a conversation to be had about consent, because I'm not sure if, you know, she consented to getting her toes sucked on.
Well, that's
or
the thing.
Licked.
Yeah.
Agree. Totally.
Yeah.
Because that's a little weird. Like, I, like,
You tell me, Sam, I was there. It was real weird. It was real weird.
Well,
part of it is that, and sorry, Sam, not to interrupt you, a part of it is that he was willing to do it in public. Like people, like 100 people were watching. You know what I mean?
That's probably part of it.
And I went back. I did a post on Instagram about it, or the Punk News Instagram. I didn't include his face because I thought, well, maybe that's kind of mean. Should I have included his face, or is that kind of not nice?
I think you did right and did not include his face, because unfortunately, the internet is not nice to people sometimes,
Unfortunately, but he chose to suck people's toes in public. You know, it wasn't
correct.
At a cap. He came to
However,
a public
I would rather not have punknews.org get sued by a man that paid $200 for a pair of socks.
Well, there you have it. Anyways, young women out there, and even men, maybe consider selling your socks. There is a business there, you know. It's so weird, man. If you got $200 to spend on dirty socks, maybe you shouldn't have that $200, you know.
You should give me the $200.
Yes, give Em the $200.
Yeah, exactly. give it to Em so she could start research in eradicating mosquitoes.
Exactly. Speaking of feet, I have bites on my feet, so the mosquitoes also have a foot fetish. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Em, do you want to sell pictures of your feet with mosquito bites?
Maybe. I did read something interesting about foot fetishes, though. There's, like, a neural pathway in your brain. And a lot of people with foot fetishes, their sexual, connection is attached to the connection that, walks and stuff. So they are sexually attracted to feet because of a neural thing in their brain. Not everyone, but some people have that. And then there was silence.
I think there needs to be more research and fetishes and how that works.
I'll tell a quick story. So years ago now, maybe almost 10 years ago, it was my friend's bachelor party. And he's in a frat. Or he wasn't a frat. But he's in, like, the computer science frat. So, like, the nerdiest frat. I'm not even kidding. And so his frat brothers, or whatever you, what do you call it, frat brothers? What do you, fraternity brothers?
Fraternity brothers.
It was kind of, it was a dual bachelor party in that my friends and I set up one day for him of bachelor party stuff, and the frat bro set up the first day, honestly. And we went to the strip club, and I was kind of against going to the strip club, honestly, because I don't know, man, like that's kind of not my style. But we went in, and honestly, like the women were like super good looking, and I was like, wow, this is not what I thought it was going to be. And anyway, one of the strippers comes up to me, and she's like, so what are you into? And I'm like, hot chicks. And she's like, no, but what are you into? And she's like naming all these fetishes. And I'm like, I'm telling you, the fetish I have that I'm into hot chicks. And she's like, no, everyone's into, you know, this or that or that. And I'm like, I'm not into any of that. I like good-looking women. That is what I'm into. And she got mad at me, and then I was would not like say that I was into some kind of weird fetish. You know what I mean? I'm like, hot women, that's my fetish, you know. She got mad at me. She literally got mad at me, you know. So anyway,
Oh
but
my gosh.
yet another
John,
strange.
I think she wanted to step on you.
I
Yeah,
well,
I
she
think
that was
so.
actually a thing. Is so my friend said, do not tell them it's my bachelor party, because I mean, because like some other guys were there for their bachelor. It was insane. Like one guy they brought up on stage, they literally tore off his, like they ripped off his pants, and they started like spanking him with his belt. But I like not in like a funny way, in like a painful way. Another guy.
Oh my
They, it was
gosh.
his bachelor party, and because I obviously had to strip with him on Saturday night, big bachelor party night in the summer. They set him on a chair, and the girls would like lap dance, but instead they would like climb up on the pole and drop down from like 6 feet on like on his wang. And I'm like, oh my God. Like and they would like put their heels on his wang, and like it was like, I'm like, whoa, like ugh, you know. So anyways, so yeah, so if it is your bachelor party and you're at a strip club, do not tell them it's your bachelor party. It's gnarly. Anyways, speaking of things that are gnarly, Dave Grohl and Foo Fighters have released their first track
Oh.
since it turned out that Dave has had a child out of wedlock and that Josh Freese was fired from the band. The new track was the instrumentals were recorded in 1995. Dave laid down the vocals this year, and it's a cover of Minor Threat's "I Don't Want to Hear It." It got pretty bad. Actually, it got really, really bad reviews pretty much everywhere. And actually, just today, coincidentally, they released another new track, which I would bet was not their intention, because who releases a new track and the next day releases another new track right away? You know what I mean? I've got something of a take on this, but Em or Sam, do you have a take on the Foo Fighters cover of Minor Threat?
Why? Like, I understand Minor Threat is a lot of people's like gateway into punk or, you know, inspiration for life or whatever, but I think Foo Fighters at this point doesn't need to do any more covers unless they're doing like a passion project of only covers on an album or whatever. This doesn't seem right. I also want to be like, what is going on with your PR people? Or like who is advising you back there? I was like, did you scare everyone away? yeah, Foo Fighters, I love you, but what's going on there, you guys? M.
Something's happening.
Yeah, I know. Is someone going through a midlife crisis? Like, is this what's happening?
Well, yeah,
I
he's going through a
think
midlife
so.
crisis. He's
I think
banging
so.
22-year-old chicks and getting them pregnant.
Well, clearly,
Use a
but
condom, Dave.
well, that is
So
his
listen,
choice.
here's what this is for a year. I don't even know if Dave intended to become the quote nice guy of rock and roll, but after the past say 15 to 20 years, he's become the nice guy of rock and roll. And to me, that always rang very hollow. And I actually know someone that knows Dave Grohl a little bit, and that guy says, "Oh, Dave's a good guy." But I also know another guy who actually, well, I know another guy that says Dave is not a good guy, you know. And not that a rock artist needs to be a good guy. I actually feel that a rock artist has no duty to be a nice person, or I mean, you don't want him to be like a scumbag, but you know. Is Mick Jagger nice? I don't know that Mick Jagger is nice, you know. I would say, is Lemmy nice? But I interviewed Lemmy once and he was nice. But you know, is McFarren of the Deviants, is he nice? He's not nice, you know. Is David Johansen nice? I don't know that he was nice, you know, but they're amazing. But where that comes to an issue with Dave Grohl is Dave Grohl definitely has embraced, I'm the nice guy, rock and roll. You know, I'm here for fun and positivity. I used to be in Nirvana, and I'm nice, and I'm in the world's biggest rock band right now, or one of the world's biggest rock band, and we have all these kind of slightly fast mid-tempo songs that have melody and aren't that threatening. We're the nice guys, you know. And it turns out that he's not a nice guy because he's cheating on his wife and getting women pregnant. And so since then, instead of being like David Lee Roth or even like Lemmy, he's like, yeah, I'm banging 25-year-old chicks. I'm a rock star. Yeah, I'm not going to apologize. I'm Dave Grohl. I'm a rock star. That's what I do. Instead of just accepting it, he's desperately been trying to get back to his nice guy of rock and roll persona. Notably, during the LA Fire benefit, when they did three Nirvana songs or four Nirvana songs, they had St. Vincent and Joan Jett. They brought out his daughter to sing a track, which in a normal circuit, like if I went to, like I'll give you an example. At Punk Rock Bowling, two Punk Rock Bowlings ago, Freddie Madball brought his daughter out and she sang at 11 years old the first song that Freddie Madball ever sang live when he was 11. That's a nice, fun father-daughter moment, you know. But when you bring out your daughter after being caught cheating on your wife and having a kid with some other woman, and putting this young lady on the world stage to perform what many people could, not me, but what many people consider the most important music of their lifetime, that rings as manipulative. Like, I don't, like, if he just wants to be a nice dad, then why is he making her the focus at this thing that is not about her? The answer is to kind of obscure the fact that, you know, the nice guy image isn't really true. And like I said, I don't care that he's not a nice guy, but he's been promoting that. So since then, he's been kind of in free fall. And then it came out that Josh Fries got fired. Josh is a great drummer. I can't fathom why they'd fire him. And even like if it was money, I think Josh would not have been as surprised. But like Josh was surprised that he was fired. And so if it was a contract thing, I would think he'd say, you know, we couldn't work out the logistics or something like that. But he seemed genuinely surprised and shocked. And so Foo Fighters, you know, with Dave, the nice guy, rock and roll, oh, he's having his manager kind of do all this behind the scenes wing clipping, you know, which once again cuts against the nice guy of rock and roll. So whenever Dave's in trouble or whenever Dave feels you need to pop, what does he do? Is he references his early punk rock history, which I feel is somewhat overstated. And, you know, of course, Dave is from D.C. And so yet again, it's kind of the classic Dave playbook. Dave desperately wants to regain his nice guy of rock and roll status or make people forget about that he's not so nice. So what do? Let's cover one of the most seminal punk songs of all time. But yet it kind of backfired because honestly, it sounds pretty bad. His vocals just really are not that great here. And also you can hear that they've been recorded 20 years apart or 30 years apart, 30 years apart because the instrumental has a much different clarity and tone than the vocals, you know? And so it definitely feels like it's a specific PR move. And oh, see, I am punk rock. See everyone, I've got Pat Smear in my band. See everyone, I'm covering Modern Threat. I am punk rock, but it didn't work because it's not a good take. And also, really, I don't know if anybody can cover Minor Threat and really do it justice. The only way to cover Minor Threat is if you do it in the context of a live show, it can work. But as a standalone single, it's like, why? And it's kind of transparent. And that's exactly why just today they released another new song with Dave drumming to kind of cover up this one. So so Dave just keeps trying to cover up blunder after blunder after blunder and desperately trying to become the nice guy of rock and roll again. Will that happen? I don't know. Em, do you think Dave will ever regain his position of nice guy of rock? I will say that if you go on the Foo Fighters Instagram, being part of reading publications and reading music press and being part of music press, you get a very skewed perception. Because if you read Spin, if you read Rolling Stone, if you read Punk News, this is on the forefront of everyone's mind that Dave's been banging around and now he's trying to be nice again. If you go read the Foo Fighters Instagram, the Facebook, it's just all their fans saying how great it is and how everyone should love Dave again. So the question is, Em, what's the future like for Dave here? And is this the right play?
I think that he will kind of become like the nice guy of rock and roll again, because I think a lot of people really need him to be that, so they're gonna kind of force him to be that one way or another, if that makes sense. So that's what I think is gonna happen there. I think also the only way that he's going to kind of regain that image in kind of the wider viewpoint, other than kind of like the diehard fans, I think will be owning up to everything in a way that's not just like a post on Instagram, like a notes app kind of thing, you know, and actually kind of talking about it and moving on. Like, I think if they talk about, like, not necessarily just him, but like the whole band or whatever, talk about why Josh Freese was fired because nobody knows, you know, like that would clear some things up or whatever. But at the same time, maybe that's why they're not talking about it. I think trying to constantly cover things up over and over and over again is a really bad way to go. Because, John, like you said, it's extremely transparent. People see what's where this is coming from, why it's happening, and it just draws more attention to kind of like what you're trying to cover up rather than what the actual thing is. I don't like this cover. I think it's not great. And it's a bad move. So
Well, this is kind of like a cat covering up its shit in a litter box.
Woof, Sam. Wow. Sam, I think you just wrote the most brutal like review takedown line ever.
Yes, that's perfect.
I am savage today. I'm just saying.
Not to beat up poor Dave too much, but is it fair of us and or me to mention that this follows the out of wedlock thing? Because you know, if Mick Jagger has had lots of kids out, Mick Jagger's got like 11 kids. And when I write about the Rolling Stones, I'm not like the Rolling Stones have a new album come out. Did you know that Mick cheated on his wife three times and has three different kids by three women? You know, I wouldn't. Is it fair for me to mention that with Dave Grohl when we don't get the same treatment to Mick per se?
Yeah, well, I also feel like, you know, when it comes to like him, he's like, I guess in a lot of people's eyes, legendary because he came from Nirvana. Like a lot of people, at least my age, all grew up like coming out of grunge and might have landed either in punk or metal or hardcore, you know, like out of that. So there's also that, like, you know, kind of like the worshiping of the Dave thing. And it's also like a lot of bands, even bands that we have covered on Punk News in the past, has been canceled. Dave's really gonna have to dig himself into a huge, huge hole because of his, I guess, clout or whatever, in order to get canceled. At least in my eyes, and you know, clearly cheating on your wife and having children out of wedlock isn't going to do it for that. But like, you know, other smaller bands, it has happened and they've gotten canceled or they've said bad things and they've gotten canceled. I think if Dave like was a really shady person and had like say really, really nasty things. I think that's going to be like grounds for him to go away.
Why do people worship Dave so much? Like, what is it about Dave that people love so much?
Well, I really think that a lot of people like their gateway band into alternative music, especially people of my age range, John, your age range too, was Nirvana. So he comes from Nirvana. I think there is part nostalgia attached to it. This doesn't apply to you, M. You're too young, sorry. But it might, I
That's
don't
okay.
know. But yeah, no, I do think that there is like a nostalgia factor to it, like, you know, that he's in a way like, you know, put after Nirvana went into Foo Fighters, and like if you still listen to like alternative rock or whatever, you may or may not like Foo Fighters, and you may or may not like, I would have to say, like a lot of Foo Fighters tracks are radio hits, and a lot of people if it's played in the open, you know what it is. You know who they are. So there's that, you know. Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, it's a lot of rock stars do pretty shitty things.
Yeah.
And you know, it takes a lot for them to get nulled out somehow. It doesn't take much for a punk band to get nulled out,
That's true. But actually,
though. True.
I agree with you, Sam, and then we'll wrap this portion on up. But I agree with you that punk bands get nulled out pretty soon, except for I feel the null brush is not weaved uniform, is not
No.
used uniformly at
No.
punk rock. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Yeah. But there you go, we all agree. Well, we solved that problem, Dave Grohl. So
But you know what's a
yeah.
good cover that was released, I think, today?
What's that?
Judas Priest covering War Pigs by Black
Judas,
Sabbath.
wow, how did I miss that?
I just saw it. It just popped up on my YouTube thing. I'm
Wow.
sending it. Where are you here? So that is cool.
That is cool. I remember back, so here's a quick aside. So twice Rob Halford has subbed in as the singer of Black Sabbath. The first time it was, let me see if I can get this right. It was in Camden, New Jersey. I think that was the first time, and I could have these swapped. The first time it was, I believe it was 1993, and Ozzy was sick, so they flew in Rob to sing for Black Sabbath. And the second time, I think, was it was Heaven and Hell, or no, Dio was singing for Black Sabbath, and they were opening for Ozzy, and Dio refused to open for Ozzy, so they had Rob sing instead. I might have those two swapped or switched. There's a bootleg called The Iron God, and it's Rob playing with Sabbath, doing all Sabbath, and it's freaking awesome. And I remember years ago at a job that I had, there was a delivery guy, and this was the '93 show, and he's like, they announced that Rob Halford was coming out to sing, so I left. I don't want that. I don't want to hear that. Sing, and I'm like, oh my God! Like you, this is like a once, potentially a twice in a lifetime chance to hear Halford singing Sabbath, and you left the gig. Like that's insane to me. That is literally insane to me.
Awful.
Anyway, this is. I hope they do a physical version of this. That's pretty cool, man. Although honestly, War Pigs is overplayed, but still, that's pretty awesome.
Still a great song.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, man, Halford's the man. Okay, so let's see what else should we talk about today. We've got actually let's talk about we've got at least one more very heavy topic, but let's do something light right now. Ramones are re-releasing their first four albums as 1, 2, 3, 4. The kicker is that they are on Dolby Blu-ray disc. Sam and M, is there
Okay.
any point to super high fidelity Ramones, or because the actual albums were recorded in very lo-fi conditions, is that ridiculous and stupid? Where do you guys stand?
Ridiculous and stupid.
Has
I do.
a Blu-ray player? Okay, besides you. I can't. Like, I don't have a Blu-ray player. I'm not buying this. I'm sorry. Yeah, it kind of sucks because there's like a lot of like very pivotal like records from like back in the day, like punk records that was like recorded in I guess the best that they could at the time, right? And I would have to say our technology now has accelerated far beyond reach these days. And yeah, like I guess they can't keep up, but no, I don't think they should try to put this on, well, they're doing it anyways, but on a Blu-ray disc. John, did you buy this yet?
I haven't. I'm probably going to because I want to buy that and the like. It's Rush 1992 to 2002 box set or something like that. I mean, the fact with the Ramones, it's only $60, which is $15 a CD, which actually is kind of reasonable. It's probably going to sound almost identical. I do think it's overkill, but on the other hand, if to me, if any band should be saluted and given the total deluxe treatment. It should be the Ramones, one of the greatest bands of all time. So if this was like $200, I'd be annoyed. But at $60, you can buy it or not buy. I think it'll sound identical. But, you know, I am interested to check it out.
Is there a video component to it?
I don't believe so. I think it's strictly audio.
Yeah, okay. That's still a no, no. Like,
if there's something video, else on it.
Here's one thing that we should go back to the Judas Priest thing. This is weird. So, of course, you know, the very final ever Black Sabbath show is Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And let me just name, and the question is Black Sabbath even going to play, or is Ozzy going to play, or, you know, what? They've been very vague about what's going to happen. I think Sharon is actually doing a rope-a-dope, and I think it'll be a relatively normal Black Sabbath show, and that they're doing all this Ozzy health stuff to avoid bad reviews. You know what I mean? Because if everyone expects Ozzy to walk out and fall down, and he does an okay job, everyone will say it's amazing. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So anyway, this July 5 is the final Black Sabbath and Ozzy show in England. Metallica, Slayer, Pantera, Gojira, Alice in Chains, Hailstorm, Lamb of God, Anthrax, Mastodon, Billy Corgan, Duff McKagan, Fred Durst, Jakey Lee, the band, KK Downing, Mike Borden of Faith No More, Ghost, Sammy Hagar, Rudy Sarzo, Slash, Sleep Token, Tom Morello, and the guy from Disturbed. But no who? No Judas Priest. What's up with that?
I thought they were playing.
No, no.
That's the big wild. Thing, okay.
The big thing, they asked Rob about it, and he was like, they never asked us. We definitely would have. We had no idea about it. So isn't it weird that they didn't ask Rob? Like, that's weird.
That's really weird. He should be, like, the band should be on the bill.
You think they're worried about, like they're worried about Rob overshadowing them or something? Which I don't think Rob would do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Because
Rob's
think
a huge Sabbath
so.
Fan.
I really don't think so. Like, unless Judas Priest isn't playing because Rob Halford's going to be doing Black Sabbath songs. Unless he's going to be one of, like, the fill-in vocalists.
Oh, you mean in the future?
No, for the show.
No, he's not going to be there. He's not going to be there.
But they could do, like, surprise guest kind of thing.
I
think.
It's possible. I mean, he says he didn't know about it, but that would be an interesting rope-a-dope.
Because it would be really, because, like, obviously, you know, Dio's no longer with us, but, like.
He is?
He's no longer.
He's not?
He's dead. Except for the hologram, if you count the hologram.
Don't talk to John about that. He's still in denial. Well, I also think that it's plausible that maybe they're not asked because they're going for a younger crowd or, like, a more, like, contemporary crowd.
Because, that's why, like, they have Sammy Hagar play?
No, well, like, there's Gojira, right? Gojira played, they played, what, the Paris Olympics, right?
Yep.
There's also, like, Sleep Token, you know, John went, but.
I think there's something weird going on there between, like, Sharon or something. I think that's a huge oversight, and that's weird, especially since Judas Priest was on Ozfest, like, 2005, and it was awesome, man. Motorhead, Slayer, Judas Priest, original Black Sabbath. It was rad. So, I don't know, man. I think it's weird. Let's see here. What else we got to talk about? Oh, Em, tell us about Fishbone.
Oh, yeah. So, they have a new album out now called Stockholm Syndrome. So, I did an interview with them a couple weeks ago, and it ran last week. So they were, I caught up with them when they were on their tour bus, which was really funny because for the first little bit, I wasn't recording because the audio was so bad, I couldn't hear them. And then finally hit record and the audio kind of evened out a little bit. But it was cool. So I talked to Angela Moore and Christopher Dowd, and they're both great people, very, like, creative, very cool, and it was more like kind of hanging out. We obviously got into the album and got into, like, different things, which was a lot of fun. And we also hosted the track by track breakdown when the album came out. I'm just pulling it up now. So, yeah, that's really cool. Again, if you want to read it, they get a little bit more in depth with like, here's this thing, the song is specifically about like the breakdown of the band and us coming back together and like, you know, this, that, and the other thing, which I think is really cool, that they've had such a tumultuous like career, really, that they're addressing it and talking about it in musical form kind of thing. So I'm enjoying the album. I think the album's really good. It blows the EP they did a couple years ago in 2023 out of the water.
See, I like any I love that EP. I thought that EP was great.
Listen to the album. You'll notice a huge difference. They have a lot more energy on the album and they don't sound as subdued,
See, I don't think it
so to
sounds up to,
speak.
I mean, I'll check it out. I thought that album of that EP was great.
It definitely has good moments, but like this album is, I think, what they wanted to make.
Do you know why? Like, I think the band was unhappy with the EP. Do you know why they were unhappy with the EP?
I think there is just a lot of like butting heads. I
I
think
mean,
there's just like a lot of creative people in the same room who had different ideas and didn't get along.
are you saying that Fat Mike fought with the band?
I don't think it was Fat Mike. I think it was just interpersonal, like within the band.
Oh, you think, oh, because you're right, the EP presaged the breakdown of the band.
Yeah.
So you feel as though because they were fighting with each other, that affected the EP.
I think so.
I have to apologize to Sharon Osbourne. I was wrong. Judas Priest
What?
has a July 5 show in Germany with the Scorpions for the Scorpions' 60th anniversary. That's why Rob can't do it. I was wrong. I
Oh.
was wrong.
It all makes
Although
sense.
that explanation came up after Rob said he didn't know why he wasn't asked. But who knows? Who knows?
It will forever
Well,
remain a mystery.
maybe they booked a show so that they don't have to play because they weren't
Ooh.
asked. True. I like that thinking.
I think the Scorpions thing was announced way before the Sabbath thing, but I'm not sure. At any rate, that is too bad that Rob's not going to be there. So yeah. Okay, Sam, is there anything that you specifically want to? I got a couple other stories, but is there anything that you specifically want to cover, Sam?
I think we premiered something for a band called Neck Scars, right? That's
We
a
might
thing.
have.
Yeah,
Did
there was.
I do that? Who did that? Did I do
You
that?
did that. You did that. Well, regardless, Neck Scars, you're a freaking great band. I love them to pieces as humans and even better as a band. They have a premiere for a song called Dancing in the Stars, sometime last week, I think, that John did, that he remembers, totally remembers. So check that out. New record's coming out. It's called Unhinged. It's coming out August 1st on what is this? Well, what is, oh my God, I can't even see. Is it Sell Your Heart or something? I think
Sell the
so.
Heart Records. Andy, who's on the who we'll have on the show momentarily. So here's kind of one of the bigger stories. So Bob Dylan, the group Bob Dylan, played Glastonbury Fest, and during the fest, Bobby Villain, the singer, shouted out death, death to the IDF, which of course is the Israeli Defense Forces, in reference to the Israel-Palestine conflict. And he also said, from the river to the sea, Palestine must be, will be, inshallah, it will be free. And of course, that phrase itself is very charged, with some people saying it is the call for destruction of Israel, and some people saying, no, it's the call for the freedom of Palestine. So following that statement, the BBC looked into the issue, and they're actually considering filing charges against Bob Dylan and the group. Meanwhile, the USA has revoked all the visas for Bob Dylan and the group, which means their upcoming 20-day tour will almost certainly be canceled. Meanwhile, a bunch of European dates have been canceled for Bob Dylan. Pardon me.
Bless you.
And as I said, there's a UK criminal investigation into Bob Dylan. Meanwhile, at that same festival,
Bless you.
At that same show, Kneecap, one of the singers of Kneecap, not at the same festival. At an earlier show, they waved the Hezbollah flag at a gig. He's been charged, a criminal offense with regards to that. Let me see here.
He's being investigated. I think the charges were dropped in his case.
Oh, were they? Okay, yeah. I believe so. I'm going to look that up while you guys talk that over. Meanwhile, this is a very charged issue. Do you guys feel as though the visa should be revoked? Do you feel those comments were appropriate? And of course, if you want to be vague, because it's a very charged issue, and I'm not looking to fight with people online all day about this, you guys can be vague as well. So what's your take?
Sam, do you want to kick it off?
Sam is going to be as vague as possible because Sam wants to come back to the States.
I'll kick it off.
I'll
kick it off.
True.
I think Bob Dylan is a little bit more complex than Kneecap. For me, Kneecap is very simple. Is if a band waved a swastika, that'd be very uncool. You know what I mean? Hezbollah is, which is different than the people of Palestine. Hezbollah is the armed force arm of the Palestine government, which, according to many countries, is a terrorist organization. They clearly have advocated racist comments and genocidal comments as well. And this is Hezbollah I'm talking about. Not to mention they did kill babies at the beginning of the whole current conflict, you know, and innocent people. To have an opinion on Palestine or Israel is one thing, but to wave the flag of people that are racist and have killed innocent children, I think that's, I don't use the word inexcusable, but I'll say extremely poor taste and lame. So just as in the punk scene, you know, we dealt with Nazis at punk rock bowling, I think waving the Hezbollah flag is the same exact thing. I really don't see a difference. If someone can explain to me the difference, I'd be willing to listen, but I really don't see one. So do I think that Kneecap should go to jail? No. Do I think that it's extremely in poor taste? And do I think that the young guys that are getting caught up and haven't really thought through what they're saying and they're enjoying the buzz they're getting from it, which is kind of sick when you think about it, I say yes. So I think very, very poor taste of Kneecap, not cool. And if venues don't want to book them, just like I would never book a Nazi band, I say that's fair game. Do I think they should face criminal charges for inciting violence? I would say probably not, because I don't think they were trying to incite violence. I just think, I'm a very firm believer in free speech. And I think it was a comment in poor taste. Like I said, I think hate speech in America, hate speech is protected speech. And in order to preserve the First Amendment, we kind of have to keep it that way. So I think you should be allowed to say lame things, but I also think people should also say, oh, I think that's lame. And I don't think that should be applauded. So I think that was not cool Kneecap to do that. With Bob Dylan, that's a little bit more of a I tend to side with Penny Rimbaud. I remember I interviewed Penny Rimbaud about 3 or 4 years ago now for my excellent, most excellent, fantastic John Interviews Crass for Bandcamp article. And Penny Rimbaud, his comment with regards to the police is that I could never, and I'm going to paraphrase, but this is about what he said. I could never get behind the death to the pigs thing because in my experience, most police officers, they're a part of the system and they think they're doing something good. And in my experience, most police officers are very ordinary people, which in Penny Rimbaud speaks means kind of dumb. And so Penny Rimbaud is against attacking people. He's for attacking certain systems. And it's a very hippie way to look at it, but I kind of like that, you know? So I liked it, you know, I police are very necessary. I've been in parts of the world where there are not police and it is not cool. I think most police are severely undertrained and should really do a better job, but we need them. And so I really like Penny Rimbaud's perspective as to the police. I think maybe you can apply that here. So with Bob Dylan saying death to Israeli defense military forces. People, death to the, you know, presumably Bob Dylan is mad that he feels as though Israel is killing innocent people. So is him urging for the death of other innocent people, isn't that just as bad as the thing that he's protesting? It seems to me, again, he's kind of getting caught up in, and he's not really thinking about what he's saying, unless he really does mean that, in which case I can't get down with that at all. I can't get down with advocating violence against anybody. I'm anti-violence in almost any scenario. That is in an offensive capability. And so I think that's, I think he's getting caught up. And I do think that a lot of people are getting a lot of issues very confused. And I can understand that, and that the whole Israel, we're not, listeners, we're not going to solve the Israel-Palestine conflict tonight, I'm sorry to say. But
we're not?
You know, that conflict goes back 5,000 years, you know? And so, of course, it's very complicated. And so a lot of people are getting a lot of issues confused, and a lot of rhetoric and kind of broad speak gets mixed in when talking about very specific issues. And so I think so to go back to Penny Rimbaud, I'm all for attacking systems, not people. So I think Bob Dylan might not be fully understanding of what he's saying, or if he is, that's a different story. And so yet again, I think maybe saying that's not cool, should it be the end of them? No, because I listen. I mean, I love Leftover Crack, and they've got a million songs about killing cops, which I don't agree with, but I think they should be able to say it. So I kind of side on that with regards to Bob Dylan. And I think there's a line of difference between Bob Dylan saying kill, or is there? I don't know. Is there a difference between Bob Dylan saying kill Israeli military people and kneecap waving a flag that says kill people because of their race? I think there's a difference there. I think there is. There is. Because Bob Dylan's comments are presumably in reaction to the conflict, whereas the Hezbollah flag in of itself is not a reaction to the conflict. A conflict. Because that predates the conflict. So that's kind of where I stand. And like I said, I'm not hard-lined. If anyone wants to write in and disagree, podcast@punknews.org. Sam and Em, I don't know if you want to solve the conflict or if you have an opinion, or if you want to move on, we can move on.
We should not be saying we want anyone dead.
I agree.
We should be about peace and trying to find a resolution to this. I think most of the issues with all of this is the fact that this was televised somewhere. So because it's one thing to say it at a show or do something weird at a show and it wasn't documented, but this was documented, I believe, on the BBC.
It was live streamed.
Exactly. So it got to a lot of people's eyes, which isn't cool, right? And I'm sure the band knew that this was getting live streamed because, Glastonbury is a huge festival. You know, it's freaking massive. I listen to a bit of political punk bands, and I would have to say most of them all have, you're entitled to have your opinion to anything, right? Including feet pics. you have to be very, very smart about how you package the things that you say, because the things that you say is what will hurt people's feelings or not. So if he intentionally meant it the way that he said it, then it is what it is, and that sucks for him, because I think it could have been packaged way differently. If he had no idea that he said it that way and didn't mean it that way, I think he should probably clarify, not that it's going to matter right now, because I think there has been a lot of time that has passed with it. But there's that. I don't know. I tend to not want conflict with people, especially masses of people. And, I listen to, a lot of Strike Anywhere, or a core band, blah blah blah. And I love them dearly, but I would never ever hear them say anything like this, or they would always like try to promote peace, if anything, do you have anything to say about this?
Yeah. First of all, it being live streamed, I think, has a massive impact on why people are talking about this. Because there were so many other bands who did, I don't believe, had their sets live streamed. I could be incorrect. I'm not 100% sure on that, but who had the Palestinian flag, who talked about what's going on in the Middle East and stuff like that. I don't believe anybody else started like a death to the IDF chant, but that's kind of besides the point. It was all over the festival. There were lots of people talking about it. There were lots of people raising awareness about it. There were a lot of people using their platform to center these issues. With the Bob Villain thing, I think this is 100% an overreaction. This is, I mean, of the people who are like, yeah, you're not coming into our country, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, or whatever. Because again, you saying something on stage is not advocating for violence. If you put up somebody's name and address and phone number and say, go kill this person, you're advocating for violence. If you're leading a chant that is not worded well, you're still not advocating for violence. I also took the chant to mean more destruction of the system rather than the destruction of the people. So that's where I stand on it. Also, the band released a statement, I think the day after, and they were talking about yeah, we don't wish ill will on anybody. We're just, this was just something that we did, kind of thing. And everyone talking about us saying this thing is distracting from the real issue, which is what's going on in Palestine, which is, what we were trying to use our set to raise kind of awareness about. So, I think it's really easy to look at somebody who has said something and kind of run with that in this case. I don't know much about the kneecap situation, so I'm not going to talk about that. But that's my those are my thoughts with the Bob Villain thing and Glastonbury. One other thing that I thought was really fucking weird was well, two things. So the US State Department, the person, wh whatever deputy director, whatever their title is, was like, yeah, we don't want to allow foreigners who incite violence into our country. And it's like, well,
Well, why is Melania Trump here? Go ahead, Alex.
or, Elon Musk.
Oh, well, yeah, true. That's the better joke, isn't it? Yeah.
So it's just like, that's something. Also, a country built on free speech. But anyways, and then there's like people who are trying to petition like Mark Carney, who is the Prime Minister of Canada, to be like, ban these men from our country. And it's like they had no Canadian dates, for one. And also like, just, I don't know. Anyways,
It's
those are my thoughts.
easy to jump on a bandwagon
Yeah.
than to actually look at press releases and or things written on documentation that does not support what they're trying to ask for. Reading is hard.
Do you guys
Yeah.
think we're going to change the topic quick? Do you guys think this is good for Bob Villain and that this is getting them a ton of press? Aside from all political and moral aspects, I mean strictly business and fame. Is this good for Bob Dylan or bad for Bob Dylan?
I don't know. Their booking agency dropped them.
That's true. That's bad. That's bad. Honestly, when you get dropped by a big booking agency, that's usually a real setback for a band. But that being
But I.
said, they can probably, well, but they can probably, they certainly can, they've got the way to book themselves. But that being said, is they don't have the way to book themselves at, sadly, well, not sadly, a Live Nation type thing. I can't stand Live Nation, but if you want to get up to a certain level, you have to deal with Live Nation. That's a good point.
What I think we're going to see, though, is I really think like people who support the band are really going to show up and they're going to help the band kind of move past that somehow, I think, just based on what I've been seeing on social media and things. So I think right now it's probably not the best, but I do think they're going to come back and be fine.
I think it's time is going to tell because there was in a different note, a case of a band called Were that got let's just say canceled about 10 years ago. Their record label dropped them and they disappeared and things got shuffled around all for some unsavory tweets that was out there. I think they were transphobic tweets.
Yeah, I'm looking. Oh,
No.
that's right. That's right.
Oh, no.
I'm looking at the article right now.
Yeah, and apparently.
Someone put some transphobic tweets about the band Gloss on
Yes.
their Instagram, and they said, "Oh, that
Oh.
wasn't us. That was like our merch person or something."
Correct.
But it essentially was the end of the band.
Yeah, pretty much it was the end of the band, and I would have to say this year I saw them and they sold out Brooklyn Paramount in Brooklyn, New York. So they did play with nothing, the other shoegaze band. But I would have to say, a lot of the younger kids, folks, the 20-something-year-olds, are totally into Were, loves Were, could care less about them being canceled 10 years ago, might not even remember that they were canceled 10 years ago. I'm not sure, but yeah, no, only time will tell what is going to happen with Bob Vylan or whatever to see if they come back or not. Hey, it's if this is the end of the band, this might be a good time for them to take a break and, plot their comeback for 10 years from now. I don't know. It's also plausible that, they don't care about Live Nation and they don't care about playing large venues and would rather play your backyard. I would have to say it's going to be hard to not be able to get a visa to come to the States. That's gonna suck. Because
That
I,
you're right. That will,
yeah.
business-wise, that will hurt them for sure.
Yeah, that will definitely hurt them. They cannot just play Europe all the time or play Europe and Canada. Actually, they could probably just play Canada. And you'll go see them.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it's unfortunately for us living in the States, we've crossed the conundrum of what bands can actually cross any borders to come see us.
Well, let's close this up with a couple of fun stories. The Dwarves, I should say, Gwar is going on tour. Helmet, the Dwarves, and Blood Vulture are opening. This tour is going to be awesome. I'm going to be the Philadelphia date, which actually is one of the last dates. And it's the return of Gorgor, which is the band's pet Tyrannosaurus Rex. I saw Gorgor a few different times, and he's gigantic, and it's awesome. And this will be a fun tour. I think it's a great mashup. And you should go see the Dwarves July 31 in Philly, and then see him again November 20 in Philly with Gwar. It's going to be awesome. Sam, would you go to this?
I have actually thought about it only because I want to see Helmet.
Well,
Ooh.
Sam, come down to the Philly show. We'll have a blast.
November 20th, I see.
Let's see. What? Let's cover one more story. Does anyone have a story that you particularly want to cover? Let's see
What
here.
has
All right, how
happened?
about this? How about this? Billy Joe Armstrong sang Anarchy in the
Yes.
UK with, and I'm still not sure if it's the Sex Pistols or if it's Glenn Matlack, Paul Cook, and Steve Jones doing the Sex Pistols. It's still very unclear to me. Anyways, Billy
Sex
Joe.
Pistols with Frank Carter, I think.
I think that's what it is in England. I know we looked into this once before. I think that might be what it is in England, but not USA. I don't understand how they can call them, and I don't mean from a moral aspect, I mean from a legal standpoint. I don't understand how they can tour as the Sex Pistols without John Lydon's consent, unless they have it and they're being kind of quiet about it.
Well, who
Hard to know.
owns the trademark Sex Pistols? Is it
I
John?
believe it's a four-way split between Lydon, Matlock, Cook, and Steve Jones.
Well, they have the majority if it's the three of them anyways.
But that's not true, and sometimes it works that
Oh,
way.
yeah.
But sometimes, and I would certainly expect in a band of this caliber, their internal band agreement states the band can never tour the Sex Pistols without Lydon or any single any member. You see what I'm saying?
Well,
Like
I
for
think
example,
you need to get this contract then,
I do.
John.
Like for example, without question, the Rolling Stones contract, I mean the Rolling Stones internal band agreement says the Rolling Stones may never tour the Rolling Stones if Mick Jagger's not in there. The Rolling Stones may never tour the Rolling Stones if Keith Richards is not in there, you know.
Sure.
The owner of the Sex Pistols trademark is Glitterburst Limited. Glitterbest Limited. And that's a UK company.
Who's the most glittery?
I'm looking up right now. So, anyways, Billy Joe sang Anarchy in the UK. And I'm not. Look at this. This is crazy.
Do tell.
Glitterbest Limited is a management, publishing, and production company founded by Sex Pistols manager Malcolm McLaren. It's crazy as hell that company's still around. I'm sure he does.
Do tell.
Here's the answer. Here's the exact answer. So the Sex Pistols sued McLaren and took ownership of the company. Glitterbest Limited is owned by Lydon, Steve Jones, and Paul Cook. They together own the Sex Pistols trademark.
So that's still
Oh,
ha so
okay.
that's two of the three that is rolling around as Sex Pistols right now.
Right, and so but that goes back to our original question: is it, I would almost assume there definitely is. Is there in the band's internal band agreement a statement that says the Sex Pistols may not be the Sex Pistols without John Lydon? I would bet $3,000 that that's in there, you know. But maybe they're
Well,
paying some sort of licensing fee or something.
it's either they're paying a licensing fee or they're because I would think that if like Lydon like actually had an issue with that he would have sued their asses by
But he is.
now.
He's suing that. He was or is suing them over that Sex Pistols
A
documentary or
movie?
something.
Wait, well,
Oh
the
no, never mind.
documentary?
Wait.
The movie with what's his Pete Davidson? Was
No,
that it?
that's the Ramones.
Oh, got her.
He did sue them over Steve Jones's thing, but maybe that's over, or maybe he's suing them again. I don't know, man. So many lawsuits. So many lawsuits.
Well, that's why we need you, John.
Yes.
It looks like there is no active Sex Pistols. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Yeah, it was over the Danny Boyle TV series, and the Sex Pistols beat John Lydon.
Oh, okay. That's what it
Okay.
was.
So there isn't an active lawsuit just for the use of Sex Pistols, the words, the
It appears there is not.
name. Okay.
So he must be okay with this because they can't just be rolling around because I would think that if he sued, there would have been a cease and desist, you know?
I would agree. I would agree. So there must be some sort of arrangement worked out. There's got to be. You know what I mean?
But nonetheless, Billy Joe, like, he's in Norway. What, this man everywhere? I
And he still looks like he's
think
about
so.
28. He still looks like he's 28, even though he's like 60.
He's a vampire.
He might be a vampire. Yes, I did see him with Green Day when they rolled around like last year, and I was like, "Why do you look so good?" I was like, everything looks good. I was like, everyone else is falling apart, but he looks great. Is it like because he just drinks like 7-Eleven Slurpees all day or something? I don't know.
Sam, if Billy Joe Armstrong offered to sell you his socks, would you buy them?
No, I do not want anybody's socks. I do not want my own socks. I don't want my husband's socks, nor do I want my dog's socks.
If John Lydon offered to sell you his socks, would you buy them?
I would not buy his socks. I don't have sock money. Would
Wait,
you
hold on.
buy his socks? Wait, sorry.
Can I resell them?
Sure, why not?
Well, yeah, I'm buying them and I'm reselling them for sure. If I can't
Wait.
resell them, I will spend up to $25 for them and frame them because it'd be funny to have John Lydon socks in my house. That's funny.
Would anyone pay money to buy the Masked Singer costume that John Lydon wore?
Oh,
I
that would be
would.
sweaty as hell.
I'd
That's
buy
sweaty,
that.
and there's like an entire like cock piece to that.
I would buy it, Sam.
True.
I would spend up to $300 for that.
John, I think it costs more than $300 to make.
But then I'm not buying it. That is the thing. It's like, and actually, let's go off a little bit. Some people, right now, collecting punk artifacts is very in right now. People are paying tens of thousands of dollars for, Joey Ramone's jacket or whatever. You know what I mean? And it's
Yeah.
like, in a way, oh, it's a piece of history. It's Joey Ramone's jacket. But on the other hand, it's like, it's just a jacket. It doesn't have any magical powers,
It might smell like him.
Is that a plus or a minus?
Depends how big of a fan you are.
I would think that the smell would dissipate by now.
True.
Like, unless you're like trying to scrape out like DNA or something. Like, which is, I think, weird.
Well, anyways, I actually thought Billy Joe did kind of, and I'm not a huge Green Day guy. I think Billy Joe did a pretty good job on the song, honestly. I think he did a really good job.
Again, this is how you do a cover.
This, you're right. You're right. This is how you do a cover, Em. I agree. And did you enjoy this cover? Did you think it was amusing?
Liked it. I thought it was great. I'm a big fan of this.
What do you think, Em? What do you think of the fact that John Lydon, on numerous occasions, has beat up Green Day and said that they're a ripoff and crappy and watered down? Is this Billy Joe taking revenge against John Lydon?
I think it's absolutely hilarious that he's like, you know what? I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna play the song and I'm gonna sing it and I'm gonna kill it. So, I'm gonna say yes. Yes, it is. But it's also showing like, hey, I can do this too, and I can do this really, really well. So there we
You know,
are.
just as we're talking about this, I realize why I'm not that psyched on, quote, new Sex Pistols. Is I just don't care about Frank Carter that much. If it was a different singer, I'd actually be probably like way into it. Like if it was like trying to who it could conceivably be, like if it was like Steve Ignard of Crass, which it would never be, I'd be super psyched on it. Or if it was, even Rollins, I'd be psyched on it. But I'm just not that psyched on Frank Carter. That's why I'm not that into this at all, frankly.
Well, isn't that the case
Fair
for like
enough.
most bands that needs a new singer? Like sometimes a voice, a specific type of voice is, iconic with or like, linked to the sound of a specific band. And when you get like another person to step in because, there's also like band chemistry, right? That's a thing. Like to step in, and it doesn't sound exactly the same. Like, people do have gripes about that.
True. Yeah, they
Well,
get so used to like the one way, like the one kind of like
the one
cadence.
sound.
Yeah.
anything else we should cover tonight before wrapping tonight's episode on up?
No, I think we've
Let's
covered.
see.
Not let's not be racist, not let's not be assholes. Let's sell socks.
Yes.
And covers are okay when Dave Grohl's not doing it.